Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the fleeing of Babylon as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
The prophecy is continued through chapter 51. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon the fanners, and they shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. Against him that lifted himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all of her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Hear the warning to flee out of her, out of the midst of Babylon. In Revelation chapter 18, as God is speaking of the destruction that is going to come against this commercial Babylon, he again says for his people to flee out from her. Come ye out from among her, saith the Lord, as he warns his people to come out from that godless commercialism which is to be destroyed. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hands that made the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. We read, of course, again in Revelation, how that the merchants will stand afar off as they see it burning and will howl and wail because of the loss of this great commercial system. Take balm for her pain if she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country, for her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows. Gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up in the midst of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon. Now, Jeremiah, by the word of the Holy Spirit, names the Medes as the conquering nation. And Cyrus, who was the king of the Medes and the Persians, came with this array of nations and destroyed Babylon. At the time that Jeremiah made the prophecy, the Medes were still in a provincial state and no threat to Babylon at all. He was really going out on the limb, if you were speaking in a natural sense. Naturally, Jeremiah didn't write it. He was writing it from God, and there's no fence at all. God knew from the beginning what was going to happen. But when you start making specifics in prophecies, then, you know, if it is really God speaking, it's got to be 100% accurate. If the Babylonians have been destroyed by some other nation other than the Medes or the Persians or the Medo-Persian empires, then you'd say, well, you know, that isn't really God's word. God really didn't say it, because that would be an error. And if God said it, it couldn't be in error. But because God has said it, it happened, because it can't be in error if it is indeed God's word. And that is why prophecy becomes one of the strongest apologetics. If one word of prophecy failed, then it would mean that it wasn't really God's word. Now, up until this point, thousands of prophecies have already been completely, fully, literally fulfilled. In fact, 87% of the prophetic utterances in the Bible have already come to pass, just as they were written. The 13% that remain are prophecies that will be fulfilled just before or during or right after the coming again of Jesus Christ. They are the only ones that are left. So God's batting 100% up till now. Chances are he'll continue at this pace. It really wouldn't stand to reason to think that God's word would start failing now when it has been so totally accurate up until now. There came a moment in history when the Jewish priest thought that God's word had failed. And they put on sackcloth, ashes on their heads, and they went wailing and mourning through Jerusalem because they thought God's word had failed. That was the day that the Roman government took away from Israel the power of capital punishment. Because Jacob, in prophesying over Judah, way back in Genesis, declared that the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh, or the Messiah, comes. And when they were deprived of the power of capital punishment by the Roman government, they accepted that as the scepter. They no longer had the power to rule. The scepter has departed from Judah, and the Messiah is not here. And they went weeping and wailing through Jerusalem because God's word had failed. The eternal word of God has failed. What they didn't know is at that very time, there was a little boy growing up in Nazareth, about 12 years old, who was God's appointed Messiah. God did not fail to keep his word. The Messiah was already there among them. They just did not recognize him. But that is the only place where it was thought that God's word failed to come to pass. Marvelous that God could speak with such accuracy and has spoken with such accuracy of so many things, even here naming the Medes as the conquering nation. And of course, God declares it's because of the vengeance of the Lord for what they did to his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters. Built, of course, there upon the river Euphrates with canals and all throughout the city. Beautiful, beautiful city. Abundant in treasures. Thine end is come. And the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power, now declaring the greatness of God. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. He has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. I love it when in the Psalms or when in Isaiah or here in Jeremiah, they begin to declare the glory of the God of Israel, the Creator. Francis Schaeffer said that the time has come when we really should not just refer to God anymore. Because there are so many different gods that people worship today. But we should more or less define the God that we are talking about. So rather than just saying, well, God, we should say probably the eternal God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. Then you know the one we're talking about. He's the one that we worship. He's the one that we serve. There are many gods in this world. People have submitted and yielded their lives to so many different philosophies, ideas, concepts, which are their gods. And we hear the universalists declaring, well, all roads lead to God. You know, it doesn't really matter if you're a Buddhist or a Mohammed, or all roads lead to God. Sure, to some God, but they don't lead to the eternal God who created the heaven and the earth. There's only one road that leads to him, and that road is by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that cross declares to you there's only one road to him. Jesus said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. If what is possible? If salvation for man is possible, if the way to God is possible through any other means or methods or devices or schemes, then let's skip the cross. But the cross is an offense to the person of the world today, because the cross stands there as a singular testimony that there is only one way by which a man can come unto the eternal God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. That's it. There is no other way. Had there been another way, God surely would have taken the alternative plan, but there was no alternative plan, only one way by which sinful man can approach the eternal God who created the heavens and the earth. So Jeremiah begins to speak of his greatness. He has made the earth by his power. He's established the world by his wisdom. He's stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes the lightnings with rain and brings forth the wind out of his treasuries. Every man is brutish in comparison to God's knowledge. You know, as Shakespeare said, man, poor man, so ignorant in that which he knows best. But it's amazing how wise people pretend that they are. But yet the wisdom of man, the scripture says, is foolishness with God. And who is man to contend with God? You know, there are people who try to argue with God. People try to argue with the word of God. How foolish. For every man's knowledge and wisdom, the greatest of man's wisdom and knowledge is brutish in comparison to God. Every founder, that is, that man who works with metals and makes molten images, is confounded. For his molten image is a lie, a falsehood. There's no breath in them. It's stupid to say that little idol is God. It can't even breathe. And you're filled with confusion if you call that a God. If you bow down to that, if you worship that, if you kneel before it, and show any kind of worship towards it, that's confusion. Every founder is confounded by the works of his own hands, because these little molten images, there's no breath in them. They are empty. They are the work of errors. And in the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. That is the God of Jacob, the Lord of host, for he is the former of all things. God has created all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord, or Jehovah of hosts, is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and the rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. And I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke, or the farmer with his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces the captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to all of the inhabitants of Chaldea all of their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. For behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyed all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Minai, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her and cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes. Again, declaring declaring the Medes actually to be the nation by which the others come. The captains thereof and the rulers thereof in all of the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow. For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their fortresses. Their might has failed. They became as women. They've burned their dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post or messenger will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king. The post, of course, is we get our word postman, the guy who's carrying the notices. So run to meet another, one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. Now, actually, it's an interesting, this is a fascinating prophecy, because though Belshazzar was in the city of Babylon, his father was in charge of the Babylonian troops that were out in the fields and was not in the city of Babylon. Of course, when Babylon fell, they had to carry the news to him that the city was destroyed. And of course, it totally demoralized him and his troops, and the Medo-Persian conquest was then complete. But here it tells of how the news would be carried to the king by, of course, these messengers, one running to meet the other and carrying the post and the message. And that the passages are stopped. The reeds, they have burned with fire. The men of war are frightened. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It's time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me, hath crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a dragon. He has filled his belly with our delicates. He has cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh shall be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, the people who have been destroyed in Israel. And my blood upon the inhabitants of the Chaldeans shall Jerusalem say. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment, a hissing, without an inhabitant. And they shall roar together like lions. They shall yell as lions' whelps. And in their heat will I make their feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. And it is interesting that it was in the midst of this drunken party that Belshazzar was slain and went into that perpetual sleep. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with the he-goats. How is Shishak, another name for Babylon, taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwells, neither doth any son of man pass by. And I will punish Bel, the god of the Babylonians, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nation shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Again, Revelation 18:4, come ye out from among them, saith the Lord. Lest your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come in one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be confounded, and her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoiler shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuary of the Lord's house. That was, of course, something that was totally forbidden, that God's house was a holy place.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 51 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord give you a wonderful week. May His hand just rest upon your life in a very special way. May the Lord help you, as with those men of faith, to endure, because you can see actually what others cannot see, that eternal plan and purpose of God. And may God bring you into harmony with His purposes for your life as you walk with Him this week. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Hey, I want to tell you about a biblical counseling ebook by Chuck Smith. It's pretty easy to download and takes only a minute. I can't tell you how grateful I am for something like this. It's a game changer for anyone who needs to counsel or talk with someone on the spot. Like when I'm talking with my friends and a complicated issue comes up, I can do a quick search on my phone and get immediate answers that lead them to God's Word. So not only do I get Pastor Chuck's commentary, but I can find out what the Bible says about it. There's seriously so many helpful topics, like dating or self-image, lust, waiting on God, or even what certain religions or cults mean. I could even use this when I have a question myself. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, or to preview a demo, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. To find out more, you can call 1-800-272-9673. 1-800-272-9673.